Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we want you to be a part of the broadcast. Something on your mind today, something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742, whether the U.S. or Canada. Again, it's 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As many of our listeners know, last week I was with a group down in Florida, Port St. Joe, Florida, families that are dealing with pediatric cancer, and some of the cutest kids I've just ever seen. And you just fell in love with them, and we all did. But I had the opportunity to share the gospel story and to try to connect hope, infuse some hope into these people's lives. And one of the passages that I dealt with was in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, and it says this. Then he adds, and this is the Holy Spirit adding this to what he's already said in just verses prior, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more, and where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering of sin. And after I shared that passage, several people came up to me and said, now, what was that passage again? I want to make sure that I have it marked in my Bible. And you can imagine that what goes on in the heart and the mind of a parent once their child has been diagnosed with cancer. Yeah. All of them were asking, did I do something wrong to bring this about? Is this some type of punishment for something that I've done, and my child, my precious child, has to bear this horrible disease because I was awful years ago? And so this was meaningful. This was very, very meaningful for them to realize that, no, this was just part of life. This was a body that had just gotten sick, and they now had the privilege as parents to love their child in ways through this particular journey. So for many, it was kind of a turning point to realize that, hey, Jesus stood in their place and took their punishment, and now God remembers their sins no more. And I just can't emphasize enough to our listeners, and guys, you know how important this verse is. I mean, this really is a turning verse. This is one of those verses that changes everything when you finally take your rest right here on what it says. And if there is one thing that I could communicate to people, no matter where they are in life, it would be this: God remembers your sins no more. Because once somebody rests in that, then they're ready to grow in their relationship with Christ. If you're not resting here, you will never experience the abundance of Christ's life that is available to you. So this is so vitally important, and I just can't underscore it, overemphasize it, star it, whatever needs to be done, enough so that people will finally believe that this is really true, that God does exactly what he says. He remembers our sins no more because of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, you look at that word also, Bob. It says the Holy Spirit also testifies. So what does that mean to us? Well, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're all on the same page together. It's a resounding yes regarding our total forgiveness. And, you know, I love that you had that opportunity to meet those kids and connect with those families. And I think that is something that is so pervasive in our culture and maybe just in our humanity. We are so quick to play the Christian karma game. What goes around comes around. You get what you deserve in this life. And so when something bad happens, when something awful or tragic or sad happens in our lives, we start trying to connect the dots to our past, to our performance, and we imagine God up in heaven doling out disaster as the price for sin. And you know what I love about this message that we get to proclaim every single day is that the cross destroys the notion of karma. The cross destroys karma because, you know, the wages of sin is death. We deserved something, all right. We deserved death, but because Jesus took that, then we don't get what we deserve. And, you know, we don't have to wake up every day and play that connect the dots game and trying to, you know, where is God's love? And we're trying to find God's love in our circumstances, and something awful happens, and then we think he's ticked off. And we need to realize that if we're gonna spell love, if we're going to discover God's love and how he's expressed it, well, it's right there on the cross, right there in the resurrection, right there in his indwelling life living in us. It's a fallen world, and if we're looking to the world and its circumstances to spell love, we are going to be so confused, and the Father's face gets disfigured. But guys, what a freedom it is to know that even though planet Earth is coming at us and it's painful, Christ is working in us. We're forgiven. He is for us, not against us. We're on the same team, and he is, in fact, our comforter and counselor in times of trouble.
Richard?
Yeah, this verse to me is the key difference between living my life as a pagan and living my life as a Jesus follower. Hmm. That's it, right there.
Right.
He is not coming after me.
Yeah.
This is good news, folks. And if you're struggling in your relationship with Christ, if you're wondering, does God really love me? Let this verse speak to you. Let this verse soak deep into your heart, and you will come away with this confidence and with this boldness that you know that you know that you know that God loves you, and absolutely nothing can separate you from that love.
Well, to underscore what Bob and Andrew and Richard were saying, friends, until you rest in the finished work of Christ, you'll never be able to experience the abundance of his life in you. And to help you in that particular issue, we have this little booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life, and we have a free copy for you, and all you need to do is go to our website, basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right on the homepage. You can't miss it. Forgiveness, The Door to Life, our gift to you, absolutely free, no strings attached. We want you to have a copy of it so you can rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, friends, we want to say thanks to the many of you who stepped up to help overcome the normal summer support drop-off that we experience every summer. You did it, friends, and now let's keep the momentum going. When you make your gift in October, we have an excellent resource for you. One way of saying thanks for your partnership with us, it's called The Power of Eight, Transforming Truths Every Christian Needs to Know. Request your copy when you make your October gift to support Basic Gospel. And you'll find several ways to make your gift when you visit our website, basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. Well, once again, if it's about 7 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, we would love for you to take advantage of one of the open lines right now at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen. Greg, we need to, let's restart it, okay? Tell me when. Okay, we don't have it. So, Bob, you had a question. Let's in the meantime.
Well, this question that came in from Sabrine was about baptism and salvation, and she was saying that she had not been baptized, water baptized, and she was wondering if she was genuinely saved. Mm-hmm. And that's an important issue, and it gets back down to what we just talked about, the fact that Christ died in our place, and that when we have faith in him, then we are attached to his death. We're placed into his death, we're placed into his burial, and we're placed into his resurrection. That's what baptism is all about. So any real believer in Christ Jesus has been baptized, placed into Jesus. Now, water baptism is simply a celebration of that. Yeah. It's simply saying, hey, I'm making this public announcement to this body of believers or to this group of people that I am identified with Jesus Christ. Just as he has identified himself with me and has placed me into himself, I want to tell the world that I am now in Christ Jesus. I have been baptized, placed into him, and this is celebration, and I want you to celebrate with me. Now, I've told this story. I was privileged to baptize my youngest daughter, Mackenzie, and boy, that was emotional. And but when she came up out of that water, I mean, immediately just this spontaneous ovation, just everybody clapping and just so happy of what just took place. We were all celebrating the fact that she was in Christ and that Christ had placed her into him, into his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So, Sabrine, if you're listening, you're a believer in Jesus. That's what you indicated in your call. You are a believer in Jesus Christ. Because you're a believer, you have been baptized, placed into Jesus. That's Romans chapter 6. It's also in the book of Galatians. You've been baptized into Christ Jesus. So you've had the baptism that matters. And if you want to celebrate that with a water baptism, we would certainly encourage you to do so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, guys, Paul said, I thank God that I did not baptize many of you. He said that to a Corinthian church that was arguing over who baptized whom. And why would he say that? If baptism saved people, then why would the Apostle Paul be saying, I thank God that I didn't baptize many of you? And he goes on, he says, you know, Christ didn't send me here to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. So that tells you something. What is it that saves? It's the hearing and believing of the gospel. It's not water baptism. I'm reminded of Galatians 3 that says, we receive the Spirit by hearing with faith. So it's hearing the gospel preached, it's hearing and believing that results in salvation, not water baptism. You know, the classic example is the thief on the cross, of course, being with Jesus in paradise and not being baptized. Then you've got Peter in Acts chapter 10 being shocked that these dirty, rotten Gentiles like us could receive the Spirit. And he says, what prevents them from being water baptized? So they received the Spirit first and they were water baptized second. So clearly, a baptism is not what gives us the Spirit. And then lastly, guys, I would just remind everyone of Acts 2, which seems to be the landmark passage, Acts 2:38, where it says, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And people harp on that word for, and they say, see, you can't get forgiveness of sins unless you're baptized in water. Well, the truth is that that word there can mean because of. It's just as well translated because of as it is translated for. And so given the whole message of the New Testament, I think what's really being said in Acts 2:38 is be baptized because of or in order to be identified with the forgiveness of sin. So that's what we got in Christ, not in water, but in Christ. And when we celebrate with water baptism, fantastic, but it doesn't cause anything spiritual to happen to us.
Yeah, good words, Andrew. Let's go to Marietta, Georgia, and talk with Don. Hi, Don. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, guys. I tell you what, you guys could make a Presbyterian shout.
Careful, careful.
I'm sorry, did I step on any toes? I just wanted to comment on a call-in question from, I believe it was last week, with a gentleman, make a comment and then get y'all's response, if that would be possible. He called in on Hebrews 6:4-6. And my response is that in the book of James, Matthew's gospel, and the book of Hebrews, that there's language used that clearly shows that to the Jewish mindset, particularly in that day, that there was no passive indifference toward Jesus Christ. Either he was, as Thomas exclaimed, my Lord and my God. For a monotheistic Jew to say that Jesus was his God, he was saying that Jesus was, as Paul said later on, you know, we were created by him and for him. And there was no passive indifference toward Jesus. Either he was Yeshua, the God-man, the Redeemer, and Lord, or he was a blasphemer. Mm-hmm. He was one to be completely hated, rejected, and despised. And so a lot of this language used is to say that, you know, for one, those who have maybe succumbed to the pressure you know, of losing your family, losing your job, losing your freedom, maybe even losing your life, that has come to the pressure and have turned back to Judaism and reflected and rejected Jesus, were not Christians to begin with. They couldn't have been, because once God's seed is planted in, no one born of God can go on sinning because his seed remains in him. And I just want to get a comment. If you think that a lot of phraseology in those three books that were written primarily to the Jewish mindset were making that clear distinction about something that to the Jews was all yes or all no, where it wasn't maybe to the Greek or the Roman,
right,
or anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, if you were Roman or Greek and your baby sister became a Christian, you thought, well, great, man, she's a real sweetheart now, and she's very considerate, and yeah, great, good for her, you know,
yeah.
But not.
Well, let us jump in on this, Don, and
yeah,
respond there.
Yeah,
I think he's making some good points, guys. And,
yeah,
I do.
Think so.
We certainly see the response of the Jewish leaders to Jesus in the gospel accounts. It wasn't a passive indifference. They were adamantly opposed to Jesus and wanted to do everything
Absolutely. To
rid the world of this Jesus. Even Paul, after the fact, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, was doing his part to stop this sect, to put an end to this way. And I think the writer of Hebrews was lifting up Jesus in such a way to say, hey, he is the prophet, the priest, and the king. He is the Lord God himself. You either listen and give heed to the salvation that he's bringing, so great a salvation, or you reject, and all you have is the fearful expectation of judgment. And
right.
A lot of them, I think, were holding up their hands to Jesus, saying, we want nothing to do with you. I think we see that in the book of Hebrews in that passage. Andrew, you have thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Hebrews 3, for example. There's the evil, unbelieving heart that the Jews had in the Old Testament, and this author of Hebrews is saying, hey, don't be like them. Go ahead and enter God's rest. Go ahead and enter the spiritual promised land, if you will. Go ahead and believe in the identity and work of Jesus. 1 John, written to Jews, you know, you look at the situation in 1 John, and it's all about Jesus' identity. Whoever does not claim that Jesus came in the flesh, well, they're not of God, they're not born of God. The book of James, draw near to God, cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts. All of this is evangelistic. You go back over to Hebrews, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. All of this is evangelistic, and it is exactly what you've described, Don. It's all or nothing about Jesus. You can't really say Jesus is a nice teacher of good principles if he's claiming to be the creator, if he's claiming to be eternal before Abraham, I am, if he's claiming to be the word and the life and the truth and the only way to the Father, and me and the Father are one. I mean, those sort of claims don't make him a nice teacher of good principles. As you said, it makes him a crazy person or a truth teller. And if he's a truth teller, then he is Lord and he is God. And so, yeah, these things were written because Jews were on the fence, and the authors of these letters are trying to push them over into the belief in Jesus, in his work, in his identity. So 100%, I think you're on to something.
Well, Donna.
Thank you guys for your response and for the add-on. And it seems like the book of James, the last verse, correlates that same kind of plea, you know, to them to look. If somebody's on the fence, ready mm-hmm. to go the other way, help them to see. Because for the Jewish mindset, it was all or nothing.
Right.
Yeah,
you're right, Don. Thanks for your great call today. We appreciate your comments and really appreciate your love for Jesus and love for the gospel message. Mm-hmm. So we look forward to hearing from you again.
Yeah.
Let's go to Greeley, Colorado, and talk with Linda, listening to us on KRKS right there in the
Hello.
Denver area. Hi, Linda.
How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
My husband and I have a question. I've been wondering about cremation for Christians. Is that supposedly, is it all right, or what does it go back to, or anything you know about it? I just have a feeling that it's wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Linda, you know, I think we look at that as a matter of conscience and that there's freedom in that. I mean, you look in the scriptures, and I certainly, guys, I don't know of any passage that would forbid cremation. You look at some Christians and their situations around the world. I mean, third world countries, geographic obstacles. Some people, they can't afford a burial. There's no room to be buried, that sort of thing. So I would say this, that because we are going to get new resurrection bodies, Linda, whether that old body is decaying in a coffin for about 7 years or whether it's incinerated in about 70 seconds in an oven, either way, it's going to turn to dust and you're going to get a new resurrection body anyways.
Right.
So
right.
God is not wringing his hands up in heaven about Christians who've been cremated. I think that it really is a matter of conscience and there's freedom there. So I wouldn't let it bother you. I think you're free to consider that. And certainly other people who are in Christ are free to do that as well.
Yeah. You did say, Linda, that you feel in your conscience that it would not be the right thing to do. And if that's what you're sensing, don't be afraid to go with that. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for your
Well, thanks for your question, Linda, and thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
That's really been weighing on my heart.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, it's one of those things that you want to make sure that you're comfortable with a decision. And as Andrew was saying, there's no biblical prohibition against cremation. You're not going to find a verse that says don't cremate or don't burn the body. So if you believe, as like the Jews believed, in that the body needed to be buried in honor of a future resurrection, if that's what you want to do, then that's what you should do.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
There must be many people being cremated these days.
No.
Very
yes.
much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Millions.
I talked with a funeral director just a couple of weeks ago, and he said just the number of people doing cremation has just increased incredibly over the last number of years, and primarily for financial reasons. So,
yes.
But, Linda, you wrestle with that and let the Lord lead you, okay?
Okay. Thank you for your answer.
Well, you're so welcome.
You
Thanks for your call.
You have a wonderful day.
Yeah.
You
too.
You
yeah.
do as well.
So much of what we talk about here happened in that little land on the eastern shore of the Mediterranean that we know as Israel. And we've planned an exciting trip to the Holy Land for our Basic Gospel listeners. It's coming up May 25th through June 6th of 2019. Registrations are underway. We hope you'll go online to basicgospel.net, click that link at the top of the homepage, and get all the information. We'd love to see you on that trip. It's going to be fantastic. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. And as we close the broadcast, this would be a great time to go online and call and request your free copy of this excellent booklet, Forgiveness, The Door to Life. Until you rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you will never experience the abundance of Christ's life in you. And that's what this booklet is all about, and we have a free copy for you. Request yours, as I said, on our website, basicgospel.net. It's a great time to do so right now while you're thinking about it. Again, you'll find a pre-order link at basicgospel.net. A reminder, too, that if you have a question between now and our next live broadcast, use the 24-hour listener line, 844-322-2742, to record your question, and we'll talk about it on the air. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Any way is a great way to get your question to us. We'd love to address it on a future edition of Basic Gospel, hopefully coming up really, really soon. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley, and all this great great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.